You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, everybody. Well, the Dow went up today, but that's not what's important. What's important is our next guest, Cesar Alvarez. He's a shareholder and co-chairman of Greenberg Traurig, LLP. He served as the firm's executive chairman for 3 years, and it's his chief executive officer for 13 years. During his tenure, the firm expanded from 325 lawyers and 8 offices to 1,850 attorneys and government professionals in more than 36 locations in the U.S., Europe, Asia, and Latin America. We're going to talk to Cesar today about building a national legal brand, and maybe we'll get a couple of good stories in from him, too. Cesar, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Hey, you know, and I forgot to mention how you're guest number 1,000. High five to you for that.
Thank you. You think I can get a gift certificate or something out of this?
I'm going to make sure you get Ubered back to the office on me, okay?
That would be great.
I'll make sure you get a cute driver and everything. Now, let's talk a little bit about Greenberg. Now, Greenberg, I would have to say it this way. How did you take it from a local firm, 350 people statewide, maybe regional, to this big national conglomerate and maintain quality and culture? I mean, your culture that you got there is famous.
Well, the truth of the matter is, if I would tell you how we got there because we were too dumb to listen to good advice.
That's great advice right there.
The truth of the matter is that everybody told us that we could not do what we did. Every consultant that we talked to, et cetera, was pretty adamant about what we dreamed, what we thought could be done, could not be done. And as I like to say, we were too dumb to listen to really good advice because it probably was really good advice. But it only shows you that with drive and tenacity and overcoming things that are very, sometimes very difficult to overcome, is how you succeed. Every client that I ever had, everybody that I know who has done extremely well has succeeded because they had gotten up again after a failure. And so we had our bumps in the road, but we always got up and went ahead.
Well, it sounds to me like you answered two questions at once there, because you also gave me how you were able to replicate and continue moving along with your corporate culture, which here in town is famous.
Yeah.
You know, your corporate culture is so strong and so driven and as a problem-solving firm. In fact, what is it that you guys have on the front of your website there? What is it? Effectiveness.
Effectiveness. Yes.
It's not judged by the past, but on the present and the future. And it seems to me like that's the way you're talking right now, what you're trying to do.
Absolutely. Look, if you know anything about lawyer, you know that all our training, everything that we do is about looking to the past. You have precedents. You figure out how cases were decided 20, 30, 50, 100 years ago. And that tells you what you should decide cases today. And I think what distinguishes our firm is that we have overcome that tendency to always look back.
Oh, what a great way to spin that. That's 100. You've been thinking about that one. So you were able to grow the firm. You've been able to keep the firm character intact. But how have you been able to build that brand so that it crosses state lines and then the international lines, even the international dateline, for goodness sakes?
Yeah, look, the way you brand a law firm at the end of the day is by the key partners that are in that firm. Their ability to have great practices. Those practices, when put together, is what really brands the firm at the end of the day. And so we make sure that our partners are business-oriented people. They are problem solvers. They're not the kind of lawyer that you'd rather not have talked to. We are the kind of lawyer that when you have a problem, you call us because we have solutions. As opposed to a lawyer that you call with a problem and he or she tells you about the other 10 problems you did not know you had.
Yeah, I don't need to expand
right,
my agenda.
Exactly.
I need to finish the agenda.
Exactly, exactly.
Now, one of the other questions that I had is you know, lawyers and legal advice sometimes is looked at by people as a commodity. People say, oh, I'm only going to pay a fixed price for this, and whoever gives me the fixed price, that's who I'm going to use. Sounds, in fact, like a lot of the clients I work with on my end a lot of time. But how do you overcome the objection to that law service is a commodity? And I think you already touched on it a little bit with your strong practice leaders.
Yeah. But I tell you what I used to do. I'd tell clients when I practice, and they would come and tell, you know, so-and-so rates are 20% lower than yours. And I say, yeah, but I think 30% faster than they do.
Oh, my God. Ba-dump, bump. I need my snare drum in here today. You're fabulous. Do you give after-dinner talks, too?
No.
Oh, this is absolutely amazing. Now, what were some of the steps that you took? You've come in. It's the beginning. You and your executive team, you, Matt, a couple of the other
right.
folks are sitting around, and you're going, okay, we got ourselves into this. We made some statements. Let's go and start growing the firm. What did you do?
Well, look, the first thing is let me tell you a little bit about the legal marketplace in a very broad basis, but I think that your listeners could appreciate. The global marketplace for legal services is $180 billion a year. The United States, that has 3% of the population, receives 60% of that $180 billion in legal fees. So if you're ever going to be in the legal marketplace, you want to be right here in the United States. We use lawyers for more things. Lawyers get more involved in our community in so many different ways for a reason. So what was happening in the legal industry when we started to do what we did was to grow is that the market was consolidating. So people required answers very quickly. You cannot have a client on the phone, you know, and I use this example because it happened to me. A client calls you and says, look, my stock has gone down 25% on the New York Stock Exchange. The New York Stock Exchange has called me. They have suspended trading. They want me to put a press release to say what's happening. Nothing is happening. What do I do? Well, you know, this is not a good time for you to say, what an interesting question. We're going to research it.
And we'll call you
back.
And
we'll come back tomorrow, you know. And no, you got to come up with an answer right away. So what happened with the technology and the informational technology that has occurred is that you have to give quick answers. And so the only way to give quick answers is by having experts in every area. And if you're going to have experts in every area that you can access immediately, that requires size. To be able to do that. So when you have, like we have now, 1,950 lawyers, almost 2,000 lawyers, wow. You have a lot of, I can pick up the phone and actually get an answer immediately in just about any topic you ever want to. So that was happening to the legal industry, so they were consolidating. So when an industry is consolidating around you, you have two choices. One, you can become a consolidator, or two, you can hope that
they're nice to you.
They'll be nice to you, and somebody would acquire you. Well, you know, as I like to say, you know, our firm was a bunch of Jewish guys and a bunch of Cuban guys, and we didn't think anybody else would want us. So what we decided to do is, okay, let's come up with a consolidation strategy, and we did. And our consolidation strategy basically was focused on the fact that very few firms in any at the time cover the entire United States. So if you, for example, if we were in Florida and we needed a matter handled in California, then if you didn't have a California office, you're going to find another firm in California. You got to clear conflicts. You got a whole bunch of things. It's not an efficient way of dealing with. So what we decided to do, let's give the client access to all of the United States immediately. One phone call, you have access. So that was the value that we added to the clients to do that. The value that we wanted to add to the lawyers was to have a culture of empowerment, because most law firms, when they grow, they get very bureaucratic, and, you know, they have sort of a main office and everybody has to go through there, et cetera. So they take the power away from the people on the ground. We said, no, what we want to do is the opposite. We want to give those lawyers on the ground the power. That's where the best decisions are made. That is where you can really identify with what the clients are doing. So that culture was not available for a large law firm. You know, one of the great benefits of a large law firm is the assets that you have, the human capital, the resources, et cetera. But one of the big negatives, they're incredibly bureaucratic. And if a small firm is the other way around. You can be very entrepreneurial, but at the same time, you don't have the resources you have in a large law firm. So we ultimately, what we wanted to be and we became the largest small firm in the world.
Well, that's absolutely pretty cool, actually. Because I think that is important. Because when I call my lawyer on the phone, I want to make sure that I got his attention and that I'm at that moment the only person that he's thinking about or talking to. And sometimes you get the feeling, you're talking to somebody, you're hearing the clicking in the background, and the person's going, yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. And you know that person is not hearing you. And that's not what happens when I call the folks that I know what you're from.
Yeah.
And now I guess when I call you too, because I
know you know. Exactly. Well, we try to be very business oriented, and that makes a big difference. And in fact, one of the techniques that I ask lawyers to do from time to time is to really understand how they sound to their clients. So what I suggest to them is, in the state of Florida and many states, you cannot record a telephone conversation unless everybody has your consent. So that's not what we want. I suggest that they put a tape recorder next to their phone just to record their side of the conversation. That's all we want to do. And so I said to them, look, for 2 days, let that tape recorder go and just record what you're saying to your clients. And then a week later, play that tape and see how it sounds. And see, ask yourself this question. Would I be paying $400, $450 an hour for what I'm saying?
Well, and I'll get you something else, is that I've got my little iPad right here. A lot of the times when I'm talking to the guests, I'm looking at the iPad to see how I'm looking to the guest.
Ah.
So you got to observe. You're 100% right. You have to observe what you're doing. I listen to the show a lot to hear how I sounded. I'm going to listen to this one because you got me all flustered there up front. I made a bunch of mistakes. Hopefully I'll be better coming out of this. I get in the giggles in the back. AC, how much time I got? Is it time? 1 minute? 30 seconds? All right. So I tap dance a little. All right. Well, now it's time to go. So, AC, it's yours. We'll be back. We've talked to Cesar about some of the stuff at Greenberg. The second part of the interview, we're going to get a little more personal, ask him for some good stories about his time at UF, his time with Mel Greenberg. We got some great stories here with Cesar Alvarez, Chairman, CEO, big shot from Greenberg Traurig. Back after.